Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Packers Daily. Good morning, everybody. Sorry for the late start. Anybody who follows me on Instagram knows I was up all night. Couldn't sleep at all. Up wide awake at 2 a.m. Brain wouldn't shut off. So I'm a little late getting going this morning. Thank you for your patience. Thanks for joining me here on Packers Daily on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Fine Wednesday morning. Good to see everybody in the comments section. Sean talking about it being 3 degrees in Milwaukee. Three degrees? That's 3 whole degrees? No bueno. Morning, Pogs. How are you? Kevin, good morning. Mike, thanks for the super chat kicking us off today. Is there a challenge to sign top free agents to long-term deals when the long-term future of our quarterback is very uncertain? Not that we can afford it at the moment. Mike, that is a very real piece of the puzzle. When you're signing guys, obviously money is what talks. And the big kind of, I would think, question in that regard, when you mean top free agents, I assume you're talking about outside the building, but even looking inside the building, you're going into a contract year for Davante Adams. How long does Davante want to be tied to Green Bay, knowing that there's a chance Aaron's gone after this year? Obviously nothing's certain, nothing's written in ink there, but that is part of the conversation. And that is why I continue to think, and something I talked about with Rob Domofsky, if you missed Let's Talk Football with Rob yesterday, make sure you check that out here on the social channels. It's on Facebook and YouTube. You know, I do think this is a year where the Packers pitch is going to be 1-year deals for guys on the street who have been let go by teams due to the cap crunch. And this year, you know, they're all in. Got to go get that Super Bowl, because after this year, who knows with Aaron? Now, I know things can happen with Rodgers' contract that may tie him to the team for another year or two, but the first big breaking point with his contract is after this season at the moment. Now, all of that is obviously predicated upon Jordan Love. He has to perform. He has to develop. And who knows if that happens. But I tend to think the conversations with free agents, whether you know in-house or on the street, is going to be about 2021. And I do think it's going to be a bit more difficult to get guys to commit to Green Bay long-term with the kind of up-in-the-air status of you know, Rodgers' time in Green Bay. No doubt about it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. I think Sheldon Rankins could be a day 3 free agency gem. Day 3? I think he'll be, I mean, yeah, I guess he could sit on the market for a bit. I haven't looked at, you know, who's going to be available yet, but just because, as you know, signings happen, tags happen. We don't even have a cap number yet. Waiting on the cap before anything can get moving. So I do think, yeah, there's a chance that Sheldon Rankins could be a, kind of an example of the kind of guy I'm talking about as far as bringing someone in on a 1-year deal. Who was worse, Kevin King 2 weeks ago or Ladarius Gunter against Atlanta in the NFC Championship game? It is not even close. It is Ladarius Gunter. If you actually go back and watch the game from a couple weeks ago, and I know nobody wants to do that, but if you go back and you watch, Kevin made a number of really good plays, but none of those will ever be remembered, because the only thing that's going to be remembered is giving up the touchdown at the end of the first half. It's the way it works. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Great talk with Rob. I too have never eaten at Taco Bell again, packed. Yeah. Well, you know, some of us have to live by a code, man. What does Green Bay have to do to get back to the Super Bowl? Keep doing what they're doing, Anthony. You know, I know it's frustrating, but look, if David Bakhtiari doesn't suffer a freak injury in practice of all things, they're probably playing in the Super Bowl. If Brandon Bostic does his job, they're in the Super Bowl. You know, these are things that you can't control. You can only put yourself in a position to, you know, have the opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. Yes, everybody wants to get over that hump, the proverbial hump. It's fucking hard, man. Ball bounces certain ways. One or two plays go, you know, a certain way. You give up a fucking touchdown at the end of the first half and then come right out and fumble it deep in your own end. You know, Aaron Jones played his worst game as a Packer. He's been one of their best offensive weapons for 4 years. Just had the worst possible game, the worst possible moment. All these things add up, you know? So it's no one thing that's going to put them over the hump, so to speak. Time to get all the draft capital possible. Brandy, very astute. This is definitely a year you want to, if not trade four picks, definitely want to trade down while you're on the clock to acquire more picks. There is a lot less information on these prospects than normal due to the fact that there won't be a typical combine. You've just gone through a college football season that was completely out of joint. Guys were not allowed to scout on the road. You just have so little information. The draft is a crapshoot, dartboard as it is. It is even more so this year. And I would think I subscribe to the idea that more swings at the plate, the better off you're going to be. I very much agree. Dawson, thanks for the super chat. Better hair, Markle, Makowski, or Matthews? I'm going to have to go with Makowski there. The mullet lives forever. Big Al, thanks for the super chat. Hi from Lake George. Just found out I'm cancer-free, so I treated myself and became a Patreon supporter. Love what you do. Keep up the great work. Big Al, congratulations. Wow, man, I'm touched. That's amazing. That's incredible news for you. And to turn around and then support Cheesehead TV as a result, I'm a bit breathless. Thank you so much. That's really, really generous of you. And I'm so thrilled for you, man. That's fantastic. Great news. Absolutely great news. Lawrence, thanks to the super chat. Extend or restructure Za'Darius Smith. Good morning. Good morning, Lawrence. I would, any Patreon member can go listen to my chat with Paul Brettel. Put up overnight. We talked about some of the choices and or things the Packers can do cap-wise heading into this offseason with the challenges they face around the cap. I'm of the opinion they'll probably restructure him. I know he is getting a little bit older, but I still think he's got a lot of years ahead of him being productive. And I know the worry is if you restructure it, you're putting a whole lot of guaranteed money into one final year, which would be 2022. I think you want to keep him around. I think he's a really good player. And I think, yeah, there's a bit of a worry about kicking the can down the street, so to speak. But I think especially given the circumstances, extending him makes all the sense in the world. No doubt about it. Okay, got all the super chats. I did, Dustin. I did, buddy. I got it. Thank you. Guys, I get to them as soon as I can, man. Walter, thanks for the super chat. Congrats, Big Al. Big Al, congrats, super chats. That's what I'm talking about. Patrick Peterson or Richard Sherman at quarterback, or do we just lean on the draft? I do think Patrick Peterson's a possibility. I don't know about Richard Sherman. I think Sherman's still going to command a bit of a market, and I'm not so sure the Packers are going to want to pony up or get in a bidding war, but I do think Patrick Peterson's a possibility if, as we were talking about earlier, he's amiable to coming in on a one-year deal and chasing a ring with Rodgers for a somewhat minimal fee. I don't know the man's mental makeup. I can't tell you what he's looking for or what he'll be, you know, wanting to achieve in free agency. But yeah, I think that's a possibility. Preston, thanks for the super chat. I get people want a stud inside linebacker, but it all starts up front. If we can get someone paired with Kenny up front, this defense can take a huge step. Preaching to the choir, man. Couldn't agree more. And I know everybody watched Tampa in that Super Bowl and indeed on their entire run to that game. And you see those inside backers and you go, oh my me, I want some of that. But those guys can't operate without Vita Vey and Sue in front of them. You know, I for one, am completely with you, Preston, in the sense of got to control it up front. Everything else becomes easier if you do. And I understand that it doesn't fix everything. There's still issues. You're still going to have to, probably try to keep developing and or upgrading at inside backer. But, man, if there's a priority for me, it's definitely getting Kenny some help. That's just me. That's just something I'm into. I got that one. Oh, there we go. Walter, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Does having Jordan Love give Gutekunst the comfort going all in and stretching out money to future years in the cap? Not necessarily. As we keep saying, you know, Jordan Love's got to prove it. And I don't think counting on Jordan Love's development is in the cards when it comes to planning how they're going to work the cap in the future. RC, thanks for the super chat. Russell Wilson getting respect for speaking about his organization while Rodgers gets trashed for voicing his opinion. I don't know, man. We must be reading different stuff because I see a lot of people making fun of Russell Wilson. I don't know. I can't speak to that because I haven't seen that. I've seen people just kind of raising their eyebrows and taking him to task, especially in the local media, which is interesting. The local Seattle media, that is. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Need a Lebowski watch party countdown clock next. After the draft, Dustin. Kevin, thanks for the super chat. Mike Davis as an affordable receiving back option. Well, it's a possibility, I guess. I guess. It just feels like Mike Davis is a talented guy. I do think he's going to get a contract somewhere, and someone's going to pay him. And I think the Packers are looking at something dirt cheap if they're going to sign somebody on free agency for, you know, a rotational back. And I don't see them laying out money for Mike Davis. I could be totally wrong, but that tends to be how they've operated in the past. The Packers should build on the defensive line so Kenny Clark gets some help, similar to the Eagles in 2017. Thoughts? Well, I mean, everybody would love to have the 2017 Eagles defensive line. That was acquired over years and years of draft picks, and mostly draft picks, and picking somewhat higher in the draft. You know, yes, 1,000% you want to get Kenny help, and you want to be able to control things up front. That will never change. You know, Rob and I talked a bit about it yesterday in our chat. You know, Rob made a good point about the need for speed on the defensive side and the lack of it for many years now. For whatever reason, I think the Packers are enamored with these big guys who are fundamentally sound, so to speak, and come from good football stock and are ready to play in November and December. You know, to me, the lack of speed is noticeable when you compare them to other teams. I mean, there's no question about it. But I don't think much of that matters if you can control things up front. That's, you know, where I always fall on it. Yes, speed helps. There's no doubt about it. Speed kills, as they like to say. But, you know, the 4.7 or 5 guy can arrive at the sideline just as fast as a 4.4 guy, you know, if he's clean. And he doesn't have to go around bodies and stuff. You know, on sideline to sideline, you make that play. You just keep him clean. That's all you need to do. RC, thanks for the super chat. We were really letting both backs walk and our center walk. It's a possibility. Now, there's a lot of ball game left. Like we said yesterday and we said this morning, still waiting on the cap number. And then the Packers will probably get to work in earnest. Now, they may sign some smaller deals before then, but I don't think the big dominoes are going to fall until we know what the cap is. Now, that said, you know, there's a reason they drafted A.J. Dillon, and the plan is clearly to get him involved a whole hell of a lot starting next year. I am a bit surprised that there's seemingly a pretty damn good chance that they're going to lose both Williams and Jones, but that's life in the NFL, man. Can't pay everybody. You know, yes, it's upsetting, especially considering Corey Linsley is coming off his best year ever, that they're going to potentially let him walk, but they have drafted and planned for this eventuality. You know, Corey missed 3 weeks this year, and the Packers still had a really good offense. I'm not going to say it was just the same, but it was still really good. They still scored points and moved up and down the field. You know, they've paid Kenny Clark. They've paid David Bakhtiari. They're going to pay Devontae Adams. They're going to pay Jair Alexander. At some point, there are guys you just can't pay. And the centers on their third contracts usually are the guy that you don't pay. It sucks. Trust me. I know it sucks. I hate it. I wish I could wave a wand. But, you know, the Packers are disciplined about this kind of stuff, and they've done a really good job of not landing themselves in a position like, oh, say, the Saints, who never seem to get the shit the Packers get for, quote-unquote, wasting Drew Brees' prime, or even just wasting Drew Brees. But now they are in a hell of a hurt because they've been kicking the can down the street and just signing everybody for years. Well, they never won the Super Bowl, and now they're in the shit. So I much prefer the Packers method, and it means making some tough choices sometimes. RC, thanks for the super chat. The borrowing from the future caps thing out the window. No, they are. They actually already are. That's already kind of happening. It's a bit more complicated than that. Like Corey Davis from Tennessee would fit in well with the system. Thoughts, Robin? I love that idea. Still a young guy, though. I would tend to think he's going to want, you know, a decent-sized contract. I can't imagine he'd be amiable to signing on the cheap in Green Bay, but you never know. Maybe the thought of playing with Aaron Rodgers, maybe they get him on a shorter deal, you know, tell him, hey, come play in Green Bay for a couple years, pump up your numbers, and then hit free agency again while you're still in your prime. That's a possibility, I guess. Obviously, there's the familiarity with LaFleur. Probably can step right in and know the system, etc. I love this idea. I loved him as a prospect, and I know he's had his up and downs in the league, but, I mean, you could do a lot worse, and I'd love to see him in the mix in Green Bay. No doubt about it. Thaniel, thanks for the super chat. Do you think Green Bay will switch to a 4-3 defense? I do not. I think they're going to stick with the 3-4 kind of base principles. Now, this day and age, you're in subs so much. I know it doesn't really matter which one you call yourself, but the principles and how you operate kind of flow from one or the other. And I believe they'll stick with the 3-4 base. I who knows? We got to hear from Barry and LaFleur yet, but that is my assumption right now, going with the Fangio style stuff that they've stated they want to play, or that's been reported they want to play. Big Cheese, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, I know we spent a lot of draft picks last year on the O-line, but do you think we need to go back and look at the tackle with Bakhtiari out, uncertainty at right tackle? Yes, 1,000%. Paul and I actually talked about this in our chat on Patreon. You know, there's no given that Bakhtiari is just going to be able to step right in week one. And, you know, as much as we loved what we saw from the versatility of Billy Turner and Rick Wagner stepping in at times, there's no doubt that offensive line play can get you sunk, or lack thereof, or a fall off in it. The Packers did a great job moving pieces around last year. And as you said, they did draft guys on day three last year. But if there's a guy sitting there in the first round, even at 29, although I don't think it's going to fall that way, but at some point on their board, if that's their best available, you absolutely take tackle. I don't think there's any question. It's too valuable, and it's the fall off, if you don't have one, is just too great to risk. You got to keep that offense humming, and the way to do that is to be fortified along the offensive line. Now, I don't think you circle tackle as a position and say by any means necessary or anything like that, but I do think, if there's one available, they shouldn't hesitate to take it. I did that one already. Oh, gosh. Is it week one yet? I got some bad news for you. All right. Take one or two more here. Get the bigs, man. Get all the bigs. Yeah, right. Is Joe Barry keeping all the existing defensive assistants? Brian, we do not know yet. The assumption would be yes. So far, we haven't heard any reporting around it. They're all under contract, as far as I know. So I would think some of this time that right now, since he's been hired and they've announced the hire, he's probably in the building talking to guys in the building and talking to guys on staff and determining what he wants to do there. Probably in concert with Matt, I would suspect. My thought would be they probably talked about that in the interview process. And I don't think Matt would bring somebody on board who would want to just let everybody go. There's an outside chance, but I would be surprised. I would think most guys will be back. Now, of course, the wild card there is Jerry Gray, who interviewed for the job itself. I would totally understand if he said, you know what, call this, see ya. I don't think he will, but the chance is there. Brett, thanks for the super chat. Burks and Montrevious Adams, are they done? Disappointments. Yeah, you know, I mean, Montrevious Adams is definitely a tease, because we've seen stretches of play where he's done well and he's played well for minimal stretches, but then he's had long disappearing acts. And I think he was playing pretty damn well in camp before he got hurt, and then he got back and then he got hurt again. I don't know if he's gone, but Oren Burks is, you can't classify him as anything other than a disappointment. I know he's a stalwart on special teams, but you definitely don't want to be trading up on day two for a special teams stalwart. I know they liked the idea of making him that backer who could be a bit of a hybrid it just hasn't materialized. And they even got so desperate they tried him outside for a while, and that was a disaster. So, yeah, I would think he'll return just because of his value on teams, but you can't categorize either one of them as anything other than disappointments. I'll agree with that. Orenberg, special teams ace. Yeah, no doubt about it. How about Dominic Daphne? Can we keep him with DeGuara? Yeah, I don't think Daphne's going anywhere. I love what he brings to the table. I love the idea of getting DeGuara back and pairing him with Tonyan, Sternberger, and Daphne. That is a really intriguing group. Now, of course, the big question there is Big Dog. Do they bring him back for another year? Do they want to start getting some of these other guys involved and on the field more? I know he's invaluable in the locker room. You cannot replicate his blocking. He's a bit of a tell, though. You put him out there, it's pretty clear you're going to run the ball. Now, that's not always the case, but you know that is his forte, and that is what they like to do when he's on the field. So I think there's a good chance he's back, which makes it interesting numbers-wise for guys like Daphne, et cetera. But a lot to play out yet. We'll see if they want to bring him back for another one last rodeo, so to speak. Is the defensive play now tied to LaFleur because he hired the defensive coordinator? 1,000% yes. 1,000,000,000% yes. It is now his baby. Look, you wanted your guy. Yeah, you've interviewed 9 people. You hired this guy to implement this scheme. It is 100% his. Gone are the days of, you know, I let Mike coach the defense. Nope. That is, you know, it always was his defense. That's, you are the head coach. It is your team. But he did have the cover of being able to say, you know, I let Mike handle that. Well, not anymore. Now it is 100% on him. This is his guy teaching it the way he wants. It's zero question. It is now all LaFleur. All right, guys, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers. Patreon members, don't forget, we have our Patreon happy hour tonight. Big Al, hope you can join us. New Patreon member. We can celebrate and toast your being cancer-free. So excited for you, buddy. If you can't join us on Patreon, I totally understand. Please just do me a monster favor and hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.